content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the March-April 2021 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin with Who's Who in Sports, beginning on page 8. Our second line, Hyung Min, Tottenham Hotspur forward. His height is 6 feet. His weight is 170 pounds. He was born July 8, 1992, his hometown, Chungcheongsi, South Korea. Through 18 Premier League games, Son scored 12 goals for Spurs, including 4 against Southampton. He was on the short list for the 2019 Ballon d'Or as the best player in the world. Son has 89 caps and 26 goals, including 3 in the World Cup for the South Korea national team. Did you know? In 2019, Son became the second player from Asia to reach the Champions League final. The first was fellow South Korean native Park Ji-sung, who played for Manchester United. Next, we have Mac Jones, Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback. After taking over as Bama's starting quarterback midway through the 2019 season, Jones had a breakout campaign in 2020. The junior led the Tide to a perfect 13-0 record and a win over Ohio State in the CFP National Championship game. Jones threw for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns with just 4 interceptions. He threw 5 TDs against the Buckeyes in the title game. Mac Jones, his height is 6'3", his weight is 214 pounds. He was born September 5, 1998 in his hometown, Jacksonville, Florida. And finally, we have Malcolm Brogdon, who's a guard for the Indiana Pacers. His height is 6'5", his weight is 229 pounds. He was born December 11, 1992 in his hometown with Atlanta, is Atlanta, Georgia. Since joining the Pacers in 2019 after 3 seasons with the Bucks, Brogdon has moved from shooting guard to point guard and blossomed into an all-round threat. Through 17 games this season, he was averaging 22.7 points and 7.2 assists, both career highs. Did you know, when Brogdon, who was a second-round selection, was named the NBA Rookie of the Year in 2015, he became the lowest draft pick to win the award since the Common Draft began in 1966. Next, we'll go to page 18, Hardware Award Tour. Tennis players boast the world's most eclectic trophy cases. Here are a few standout pieces. Rarely does a trophy draw as much attention as the person hoisting it. But when world number one Ashley Barty won the Yarra Valley Classic in her native Australia in February, she got to pose with another Aussie icon, the Wombat. Wamba Wamba artist Ron Murray sculpted the marsupial one by Barty, who is of indigenous heritage. It was just the latest delightful award to make its pro tennis debut. In a sport with so many finals, no single trophy can match the prestige of the Stanley Cup or Lombardi Trophy. But what tennis trophies lack in mystique, they make up for in diversity. Pan Pacific Open. Naomi Osaka looks disappointed here because she's holding the runner-up trophy. She's since won first prize, also a plate. Madrid Open. Paging Led Zeppelin fans, the Ion Triac Trophy is meant to resemble a stairway to heaven. It looks to us like a key to the most complicated lock in the world. Yarra Valley Classic. Barty wasn't the only unique animal-themed trophy handed out in the runner-up to the Australian Open. Belgium's Elise Mertens won the Gippsland Trophy and its top prize, a shield depicting a koala bear. Abu Dhabi Open. The Mubdallah World Tennis Championship has had a few trophies. We favor the glass one, inspired by the desert. Mexican Open. It's a giant silver pear with a protruding gold tennis ball. If you don't like that, we got nothing to talk about. Spare time. Continue with warm-up. NCAA football. NCAA revival. The last NCAA football video game from EA Sports NCAA Football 14 came out in July 2013, before many of you were even born. You can imagine everything a college simulation has to offer. horrible mismatches, the option fight songs. After a legal dispute ended the previous game, EA has announced a new version, EA Sports College Football. For now, the company seems content to make a version without player likenesses, the source of the issue that ended the original NCAA line. New laws, however, could mean your favorite players are included before launch. There's no release date yet. In the meantime, please bear with a little back-in-my-day talk, as I promise you this game rocked. Being a virtual Steve Carr or virtual Bill Belichick is fun, but nothing thrills like the unrivaled power of a Nick Saban-esque dynasty. Prepare your recruiting pitches. On point. You can track Felix's progress by checking his running point total since starting the initiative at whereetennis.bnparabas/ncommitments/FAA points for change. Service game. AT up-and-comer Felix Auger Aliassim is playing for more than just himself. Felix Auger Aliassim is rising star on the ATP Tour. But the 20-year-old Quebec native is not waiting for a number one ranking to begin giving back. Starting in 2020, Auger Aliassim began donating $5 for every point he won to EduChange, a program that helped provide education for children in Togo's Kara region. That pledge is matched with $15 from French bank BNP Paribas. Last year, Auger Aliassim won 4,900 points. I always wanted to give meaning to my career and have a positive impact beyond the tennis courts, says Auger Aliassim. The Canadian standout's father hailed from Togo, making the decision to support that country's youth a personal one. The program FA Points for Change has also created a new fan base for the star. With their new pens and notebooks, the children sent me really nice drawings and nice words to encourage me, Auger Aliassim says. They have no idea how much this motivates me. Execute Order 66. Only Wayne Gretzky's number 99 is retired throughout all of hockey. But many consider Mario Lemieux, whose 1.88 points per game rival Gretzky's 1.92, a great first base to the great one. Retired in 1997 by the Penguins, Lemieux's number 66 is subject to an unofficial league-wide ban out for respect for the Hall of Famer. In 2010, T.J. Brody, on the right bottom, accidentally became the first player to violate the unspoken agreement when the Flames training staff issued him the jersey during his rookie year. He switched to number 7 quickly thereafter. The only other player to wear number 66 did so on purpose, Josh Hosang, an Islanders rookie in 2017, and a big fan of the Penguins legend. Lemieux himself said he didn't care, but many fans in Pittsburgh were not so accepting. Ultimately, the controversy came to a strange resolution when Lou Lamoriello became Islanders president in 2018 and instituted it a rule that all young players pick numbers between 2 and 30. Hosang picked 26. Political figures, the secret stories, and backroom deals behind jersey number changes. Port heads to court. When running back Clinton Portis joined the Washington in 2004, he negotiated with Finney O'Hallett to get his number 26. They signed a contract, witnessed by the equipment manager, that Portis would pay $40,000 for his preferred digits, starting with $20,000 up front. Before Portis had to pay the rest, however, Washington cut O'Hallett. Portis thought this got him out of the deal. O'Hallett disagreed. So the former teammates met in court, where O'Hallett won another $18,000. Crib the right answer. When future Hall of Famer Tom Glavine joined the Mets in 2003, he built supertility player Joe McEwen a nursery to secure number 47. Cone of shame. Vikings punter Chris Cluey's demands to Donovan McNabb for the number 5 in 2011 could fill a small treaty. $5,000 for charity, publicity for Cluey's rock band, and an ice cream cone. McNabb did mention Cluey's ban and pay the donation, but it took him 4 years to make good on the frozen dessert. After the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis in 2019, LeBron James posted a picture on Instagram of him presenting a purple and gold Davis 23 jersey to his new teammate. One problem, James had missed Nike's deadline to switch back to number six, which meant Davis became number three. The big man seemingly liked his new number, keeping it for this season. But James again promised on Instagram last December that the switch will happen. Eventually. Pirate Gold. Tom Brady certainly had the dough to make a Portis-esque payment for his number 12 when he joined the Bucks. Chris Godwin, however, named a price that Brady couldn't refuse. Free. The receiver switched to 14 out of respect. Brady did pay him back in a way, targeting Godwin 84 times in 12 games. Drive a hard bargain. Deion Sanders didn't earn the nickname Primetime doing anything quietly. So when he needed to get the number 21 jersey in Dallas, he dazzled fellow defensive back Alundis Bryce with a BMW 3251. Here we have a nice picture on page 22. Michael Jordan, 23, 1984 to 1993. What if Michael Jordan had stuck with baseball? Michael Jordan was good at baseball. His 1994 season playing minor league baseball gets treated as an embarrassing footnote on a legendary basketball career. But Jordan's time on the diamond was more serious than his 202 batting average in Double A suggests. Jordan committed to learning his new sport in the right way. Oakland general manager Sandy Alverson, who would later as Mets general manager sign Tim Tebow, tried to ink him to a major league contract. But Jordan was content to work his way up through the Chicago White Sox system. Playing for Terry Francona's Birmingham Barons, Jordan took batting practice five times a day, even if there was a game that night. As the season wore on, he improved defensively, stole 30 bases, and even hit three home runs. Baseball is hard. It's not unusual for a Major League Baseball first-round pick to never reach Double A. Hitting 202 at that level as a 31-year-old after not playing the sport since high school is impressive. People around the Barons team, including Francona, still claim Jordan could have eventually reached the majors. But his baseball career ended in 1995 due to the Major League Baseball player strike. That would have happened if Jordan had waited out the strike and never returned to the NBA. What would have happened? Besides the obvious, a shorter Bulls dynasty, likely Utah's first NBA title, Jordan in the majors would have redefined the trajectory of American sports. Baseball was desperate to win fans back after a canceled season. Meanwhile, Jordan's return made the NBA must-watch TV. For decades, baseball and basketball have vied for the coveted position of America's second favorite sport after football. In the late 1990s, juicing sluggers and Jordan's Bulls have viewers a chance to watch records fall. Had Jordan been on the other side of that rivalry, baseball may have reestablished itself as America's pastime. Here are three scenes from the Major League Baseball career that wasn't. Space Slam. Bugs Bunny made his baseball debut when he was 5 years old in 1946's Baseball Bugs. Michael Jordan first donned a Major League Baseball uniform in 1996 at age 33. But like a modern-day tortoise and hare, these two cultural icons have arrived at big league stardom together in Space Slam. Originally envisioned as Space Jam, a hybrid live-action animated basketball comedy, the film was infamously shelved when Jordan shocked the world with his retirement from the NBA in 1993. After Jordan's surprising success for the White Sox, Warner Brothers scrambled to get a new baseball-centric film into production. The story begins with a young Jordan putting down a basketball to sneak in a little baseball practice, establishing his ultimate goal of being a big leaguer. It then flashes forward to his time as a White Sox right fielder, beset by scorned Bulls fans in the outfield bleachers, begging him to return to the court. MJ feels the lure of NBA stardom, but wants to honor his commitments to the Sox. When a shady promoter named pitchman Danny DeVito offers him a chance to star in both sports, however, Jordan finds himself whisked away to an animated universe. Turns out Pitchman wants to sap Jordan's multi-sport talent to create a group of alien super-athletes. Together with Bugs, Daffy, and the rest of the Looney Tunes gang, Jordan must field beat Pitchman in the Out of This World series. There's plenty of baseball-specific humor to amuse parents. "I thought the White Sox were good at cheating in the World Series," Daffy Duck exclaims at one point, making a reference to shoeless Joe Jackson that will surely be lost on younger viewers. Similarly, there are some not-so-veiled shots at Warner Brothers' rival Disney's own forays into baseball this year. No Angels in the out. This outfield, says Bugs. This ain't Anaheim. But there are also plenty of cameos kids will enjoy. Ken Griffey Jr., Larry Walker, Mike Piazza. The real heart of the movie comes from its human star. Ultimately, Jordan has accomplished the same as an actor that did in baseball, success beyond all expectation. Unsteady Eddie launches Air Jordan. Neither the White Sox nor the Minnesota Twins, a combined 64 games behind the Cleveland Indians, are going to win the American League Central. But these two basement dwellers have, against all odds, created baseball's most compelling rivalry. It started Friday, during the first game of the series. Protecting a 2-1 lead in the seventh, Twins manager Tom Kelly brought the lefty Eddie Guardado to face the Sox left-handed center fielder, Chris Singleton. Guardado struck out Singleton, and Kelly decided to leave him in to finish the bottom of the Chicago order, rather than calling for right-handed setup man Bob Wells. White Sox right fielder Michael Jordan noticed and promptly homered off Guardado's first pitch fastball to tie the game. Maybe next time they'll think twice before leaving in the lefty against me, Jordan said after the game. A legendary trash talker on the court, Jordan has been more subdued as he finds his place in Major League Baseball. The perceived slight from Kelly, however, seems to have awakened old MJ. Maybe that's why the Metrodome drew an unusually enthusiastic 34,203 fans last night for the second game of the series. Ultimately, Kelly obliged them, again leaving in Guardado to face Jordan with the Twins up 4-2. In a run on first, the Twins manager described the move as a dispassionate strategic choice. Jordan exhibits no pronounced split, hitting just .254 against lefties compared to .248 against righties. Jordan seemed to certainly take it personally. However, taking a long look back into the Twins' dugout after tying the game with another blast, benches briefly cleared, though cooler heads prevailed. I thought I made a good pitch. Credit to him. He went down and got it, said Guardado. I don't mind him admiring the home run. After the game, I asked him to sign a basketball for my son. Historically, the introduction of big names to the Hall of Fame selection process as a way of pushing hanger-on candidates off the ballot. The inclusion of Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens on this year's ballot could actually send Michael Jordan to his second Hall of Fame in as many years. Cooperstown instructs its selectors that voting shall be based upon the player's record, playing ability, integrity, sportsmanship, character, and contributions to the teams on which the player played. It's those first two requirements that have kept Jordan hovering around 50% mark for the last two rounds of voting. His 162 career home runs are well short of the magic number of 500, which itself has been obliterated by Bonds and company. Fans of newfangled sabermetrics love to point out that Jordan did not have an especially refined approach at the plate after graduating from the minors at age 33 and never posted a high on-base percentage. Even worse to these nerds is Jordan's propensity to get caught stealing. Another side effect is his world-renowned competitiveness mixing with inexperience. But it was that same competitiveness that allowed Jordan to carve out a 9-year Major League Baseball career against all odds. It was that inexperience that made his rise to the rank of starting right fielder so compelling, and it is the contrast to his peers that make his Hall of Fame candidacy so necessary. Sportsmanship? Character? Jordan was relentless, but he honored the game by giving it his best. The steroid-abusing cheaters who have been added to the ballot this year disgraced the game. So let's add another virtue to considering Hall of Fame candidates. Fame. Jordan choosing baseball over basketball did more to legitimize the game than any phony home run chase or fraudulent record. And his pitch-hitting heroics for the Diamondbacks in the 2002 playoffs helped pull the sport out of the mire of the steroid scandal. Michael Jordan could have done anything as a basketball player, but he chose baseball. Now, baseball news needs to choose him. Fast fact, Devontae Smith, Alabama wide receiver. As a senior, Smith became the first wide receiver since 1991 to win the Heisman Trophy. Shortly after receiving the award, he set CFP National Championship game records with 12 catches and 3 TDs in a win over Ohio State. It wasn't the first time he was a title game hero. In 2018, he hauled in the game-winning pass in overtime against Georgia. Then we have Kevin Durant, Brooklyn Nets forward. Fast facts. After missing the 2019-2020 season with an Achilles injury, Durant made his Brooklyn debut on December 22, 2020. He scored 22 points in a win over the Warriors, the team with which he won his two titles, in 2017 and 2018. Through 16 games this season, the four-time NBA scoring champ was averaging 30.9 points per game for the Nets. Next, we have Attack of the Titan. On the field, it looks like a cheat code. Off the field, Derrick Henry doesn't need them. From Sports Says Games. In 1958, Tennis for Two. Pong is the more famous net sport sim, but Tennis for Two predates it by more than a decade. Meant to entertain tour groups at the Brookhaven National Laboratory, this tennis game involved two controllers and an oscilloscope screen. 1972. Pong, the first offering from now-defunct video game Titan Atari, Pong launched an entire industry with its 2D version of table tennis, originally an arcade machine. Pong spawned several console versions and sequels. 1982. Pole Position. The idea of gripping a plastic steering wheel in a crowded arcade may seem disgusting in our current germ situation, but this 8-bit classic set the stage for the great racing games that have followed. 1987, Earl Weaver Baseball. A year before the first Madden, this landmark title introduced many standard features of modern sports. Season stats, difficulty levels, and a dual manager player role for the gamer. 1991, Street Fighter II. For many years, the only way to beat your buddy was to top their high score and log your own three-letter initials into the pizza parlor's Pac-Man machine. Street Fighter II popularized side-by-side couch combat. Eva Moment. Number 37. The Miracle on Ice, The Immaculate Reception, a near-impossible semifinal Street Fighter III comeback from a 1-HP character, Diego's Omera's performance at EVO 2004 made the crowd go nuts, showing the potential of eSports. Wii Sports, included with new consoles. Wii Sports was no mere pack-in game. Ingeniously applying the Wilmot to 5 sports, it launched the trend of aerobic console workouts, Overwatch League. The advent of a major esport league with six-figure salaries and cheering crowds such as a huge blow to parents saying, "You have no future playing video games." 1993, NHL 94. Steady improvements, not a single innovation, made NHL 94 a landmark. Old school fans still debate the gameplay of the third NHL game versus its predecessor, NHL PA 93. But this edition emulated a TV broadcast as well as a 2D game could. 2004, 2006 to 2018, 2020. NBA 2K on ESPN. The pandemic was not good for regular old sports, but it sure gave people more time at home to play video games. That created a perfect program solution. Put the NBA 2K League on the air. Derrick Henry. As I play as the Titans every now and then, I don't like to play with them too much because I like to give my opponent a fair chance. Derrick Henry's conducts himself playing Madden the same way he conducts himself in the backfield. While others talk, he quietly takes the ball or control and makes a play. When the pandemic forced the 2021 Pro Bowl to be an online affair headlined by a celebrity game of Madden, Henry was one of the two AFC players alongside Deshaun Watson, tapped to join a team with Keyshawn Johnson and Snoop Dogg. With his team trailing 26-6 at halftime, Henry grabbed the controller and quietly began to march down the field. Team NFC's Marshawn Lynch complained that it was so quiet, he couldn't even tell who was playing for the AFC. "He ain't talking," said Snoop Dogg. "He's gonna get it done." And he did, hitting his Titans teammates A.J. Brown deep in the end zone. "You feel me?" Henry said in his headphone mic as the camera showed Lynch speechless in disbelief. Lynch, who perfected the interview non-answer, should know all about letting one's place speak for itself. He also knows about running through entire teams of defenders. Henry does plenty of both. He recorded just the eighth 2,000-yard rushing season in NFL history in 2020 when he ended up with 2,027 yards and 17 touchdowns. Known for his posterizing stiff arm, he's a throwback to an era when backs dominated, but he's also an entirely new kind of player, built like a linebacker with the breakaway speed of a kick runner, returner. Every so often, a player comes along with such a rare combination of skills that it makes them unfair in a video game. Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl, Michael Vick in Madden 2004, and now Henry with his 99 stiff arm and 92 speed ratings in the latest Madden 21 update. I think Madden did a great job of creating me in the game, Henry says. I always get solid feedback from people who play with the Titans and me in the game. All that's left for the Offensive Player of the Year is to lead his Titans to the Super Bowl and officially cement his status as the NFL's final boss. In the meantime, he's got some advice for all you who would play as Tennessee in Madden. Stretch play to the right or stretch play to the left. I will never let you down. Working stiff. Henry's punishing stiff arm is just one of the skills that makes him so dangerous in Madden. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. 5138, the North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.